God has a plan for us, as we've seen the past 2 weeks. God knows us. He's known us since before we were born, and He had a plan for our lives, and His desire is that we fulfill it. And as He promised last week to Jeremiah, we don't need to fear man. God is with us. God will go with us no matter what, and that's exciting. So here in the rest of the chapter, God reminds Jeremiah that even though he is one of God's prophets, even though he's going to fulfill God's plan for his life, the people in general are not going to accept what he has to say. And sometimes we have to be willing to acknowledge that this is the case, that we're in God's will, but that doesn't mean that everybody's, when we share the gospel, going to accept it. Sometimes they need to hear the gospel so they can get to the judgment seat and not having an excuse. But we just need to do what we're commanded to do. So notice verse 11, "Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Jeremiah, what seest thou? And I said, I see a rod of an almond tree. Then said the Lord unto me, Thou hast well seen, for I will hasten my word to perform it. And the word of the Lord came unto me the second time, saying, What seest thou? And I said, I see a seeding pot, and the face thereof is toward the north. Then the Lord said unto me, Out of the north an evil shall break forth upon all the inhabitants of the land. For lo, I will call all the families of the kingdoms of the north, saith the Lord, and they shall come, and they shall set every one his throne at the entering of the gates of Jerusalem, and against all the walls thereof round about, and against all the cities of Judah. And I will utter my judgments against them, touching all their wickedness, who have forsaken me, and have burned incense unto other gods, and worshipped the works of their own hands. Thou therefore gird up thy loins, and arise, and speak unto them all that I command thee. Be not dismayed at their faces, lest I confound thee before them. For behold, I have made thee this day a defenced city, and an iron pillar, and brazen walls against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, against the princes thereof, against the priests thereof, and against the people of the land. And they shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee, for I am with thee, saith the Lord, to deliver thee." So they shall fight against thee is our title. Let's pray. Lord, we commit our service to you. Pray you'll be glorified in it, and you'll have your will and way in each of our hearts as we open them to hear from you now. We love you and commit all this to you in the name of our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. So as he told Jeremiah there in those first two verses, he said, "I will hasten my word. Whatever I have said will come true." And that is always the case. God's word will always be true. Whatever God has said is exactly what will happen. He said the same thing to Isaiah. He said, "So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it, and it shall accomplish that which I please." There in Isaiah 55:11. So God's word will come true. And what God is saying is he has a plan for us to get the word out. But that doesn't mean that they're going to accept it every time. As he told them here in the rest of this passage, he says they're going to be punished. He's talking about Israel. He's prophesying of the coming destruction, the coming taking away of Nebuchadnezzar and so forth. He says, why? Verse 16, because of sin. As it says, wickedness, they've forsaken me, they've burned incense to other gods, they've worshipped the works of their hands. My word says that sin will be punished, they will be punished. And that's still true today. The wages of sin is death. Now the Bible says, "The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations, but to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished," in 2 Peter 2:9. So what God is saying is, my word is true, sin will be punished. God is a just God. So what does that mean for you and me? Verse 17, "Thou therefore gird up thy loins, arise and speak." So God's word is true, God's word will come true, everyone will be judged, everyone will face the Lord. The Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. Every Christian will be judged at the judgment seat of Christ. Every lost person will be judged at the great white throne judgment, but we will all be judged. Christians for their works, the lost for their sins. All of that is true. And what God is saying to Jeremiah and to us is it's our responsibility to get the word out. Notice Verse 17, I want you to speak unto them all of that I command thee. So the lost, they need to hear the word of God. The backslidden, they need to hear the word of God. Those that are in love with God, they need to hear the word of God. Everybody needs to hear the word of God. If you would, look at 2 Timothy chapter 2, where God reminds us about this responsibility to get the word out. And in this passage, 2 Timothy 2:25, God not only reminds us about our responsibility to get the word out, but He also reminds us about the power behind that word. Notice verse 25, 2 Timothy 2. In meekness, it's talking about what we should be doing. In meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. If God peradventure will give them repentance unto the knowledge of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil who are taken captive by him at his will. I always have loved this verse 26, because people who don't believe that man has a free will, this verse doesn't even make any sense. Recover themselves? It means we have a will, and we can decide to accept or reject the gospel of Jesus Christ. Those who choose to accept will be saved. Those who choose to reject will be lost. But he's saying our job is to instruct them, these people that oppose themselves. That's pretty much everybody out there who are completely contradictory in their understanding of the universe, in their understanding of man, sin, God, and so forth. They're opposing themselves. We're to instruct them with the gospel of Jesus Christ, with the word of God. And he says, if God peradventure will give them repentance. And so he says to Jeremiah, I want you to tell them the word of God. I want you to tell them what I have to say. I want you to tell them they're going to be punished for their sin. That is your responsibility, Jeremiah. Get the word out. And it's our responsibility to get the word out. Does that mean every single person that hears the word of God is going to be saved? No. Does it mean every backslider that hears the word of God is going to repent and get right with God? No. But it means that they've heard it. And sometimes that's the will of God, that they hear it. Notice verse 18. For behold, I've made thee this day a defensed city, an iron pillar, a brazen walls against the whole land, against the kings, against the princes, against the priests thereof, and against the people. You know, how many Christians don't witness because of the potential outcome being negative? That's the honest truth. They know that the chances are the person might reject what they have to say, so they don't say it. By the way, Jeremiah tried this. Look at chapter 20 of Jeremiah. There came a time when the people were just not listening to what he had to say, and he pretty much decided, you know what? I don't want to do this anymore. Jeremiah 20, look at verse 9. Then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. This is Jeremiah speaking. He says, I'm done. All they do is fight me and argue with me and try to kill me. I'm done. And look what it says. But his word was in mine heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. Even though I didn't want to, I had to. And that should be our attitude. Our flesh doesn't want to witness, but we have to. As Paul said, yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel, in 1 Corinthians 9:16. It's not necessarily that our body, old man, wants to, but they need to hear it. And that's what God's saying to Jeremiah. They need to hear the word of God. The lost do, the backslidden do, everybody does. So our responsibility is to get the word out, and then it's between them and God what happens. And that brings us to verse 19, the key to the whole thing. Verse 19, and they shall fight against thee. So he told Jeremiah in advance, for the most part, they are not going to accept what you have to say, even though I want it said. And Jeremiah is the second largest book in the Bible, after Psalms. A book filled with prophecies that Israel refused to listen to. So then why are they there? because it's the Word of God, and because God said, this is what's going to happen, and that's what happened. Some of it hasn't happened yet, but it's the Word of God. Did they respond the way they should have? No. But it's the Word of God, and they heard it, and they can't stand before God and say, oh, I didn't understand, or oh, I didn't know that you were going to punish us for our sins, or I didn't know that you thought we were doing wrong. They can't do any of that because God wrote it down. And we can't do it either. We can't get to heaven, those of us that have had opportunity to hear the Word of God, and say, oh, Lord, I didn't know. Jesus said, to whom much is given, much is required, which is exactly why he wants them to hear it, the lost and the backslidden, because then there's no excuse. But might they not accept it? Yes. Might they reject it? Yes. Their response might be negative. As he says, they will fight. But here's what we need to understand. Even though their response might be negative, if we give the word, then God's will was done. And that's important. Sometimes it's God's will for them to hear it and reject it. Now, every speaker in the Word pretty much faced this at one point. I'll show you some quick examples. Go to John chapter 8, and we'll see an example in the ministry of Jesus Christ himself. John chapter 8, verse 40. I just quickly wanted to show you a couple of examples where God's men faced the same thing that he's talking to Jeremiah about. Jesus in John 8, 40 says, but now you seek to kill me, a man that had told you the truth, which I have heard of God, this did not Abraham. He says to the people, I'm telling you the truth, and you want to kill me. And they eventually did kill him. For what? Telling them the truth. But the truth was told. Now go to Acts chapter 5, verse 33. This is in Peter's life. After Peter preached, the Bible says, when they heard that, Acts 5:33, they were cut to the heart and took counsel to slay them. Well, I must confess that, you know, when you preach the Word of God, that's not the response that you want. For the hearers to want to literally kill you. Imagine if it was like that every time. Acts 7, we'll see another example. This is in the life of Stephen, one of the deacons. The Bible says, Acts 7:54, when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart and gnashed on him with their teeth. Honestly, I don't even know what that means. Did they literally bite pieces of his flesh with their mouths? I don't know what it means, but they did stone him to death. For what? Preaching the truth. And then over in Acts 22, the Apostle Paul, Acts 22:22. This is when Paul was giving his defense before the people. Notice Acts 22:22, and they gave him audience unto this word, and then lifted up their voices and said, away with such a fellow from the earth, for it is not fit that he should live. And if the Roman centurions had not intervened, they would have killed him. So Jesus, Peter, Stephen, Paul, that's just four examples in the New Testament of people that did exactly what God commanded them to do. They preached the Word of God, and the response was, let's kill him. And by the way, that was the response to Jeremiah many times as well. So what does this say? It's saying that it's God's will that everybody hear the Word of God. After that, their response is up to them. So the response is not up to us. It's between them and God. Go to Jeremiah 7. That's why I've cringed in the past. You know, when I've been to like a soul-winning seminar or whatever, or a soul-winning conference, and I'll hear somebody get up and preach that people should be witnessing, but then they try to get people to make a commitment that they're going to win so many souls per week. You can't do that. Now, you can make a commitment that you'll witness to so many souls per week, but to say you'll win so many souls per week, that's putting it on you. And you can't control how people are going to respond to the gospel. That's just wrong. Notice Jeremiah 7:27, an example here. Therefore, thou shalt speak all these words unto them, but they will not hearken to thee. Thou shalt also call unto them, but they will not answer thee. Then why say it? So that they're without excuse. That's why. Another example, Ezekiel chapter 2. Next book over. So Jeremiah and Ezekiel, more than any of the prophets, were told in advance by God that the response was going to be primarily negative to their ministry. Exodus 2, verse 4. It says, "For they are impudent children and stiff-hearted. I do send thee unto them, and thou shalt say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God." Verse 5. "And they, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, for they are a rebellious house, yet shall know that there hath been a prophet among them." So there it is. God's removing the excuse. Verse 7. "And thou shalt speak my words unto them, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, for they are most rebellious." But Ezekiel, I want you to speak it anyway. Even though for the most part they will reject it. Look at chapter 3 of Ezekiel, verse 4. "And he said unto me, Son of man, go, get thee unto the house of Israel, and speak with my words unto them." Look down at verse 7. "But the house of Israel will not hearken unto thee, for they will not hearken unto me. For all the house of Israel are impudent and hard-hearted." So he's telling Ezekiel in advance, they're not going to accept what you have to say. And when they reject you, they're not really rejecting you, they're rejecting me. And that is the key, isn't it? If we share the gospel with somebody and they reject it, they're not rejecting us. They're rejecting our Lord. We're just the messenger. We're just the ambassador. So we just need to do our job and send the message and give what an ambassador should give. And then it's between them and God after that. Another example, John 15, Jesus explaining when it came to the Pharisees why he preached to them, even though they rejected pretty wholeheartedly what he had to say. Look at verse 22 of John 15. He says, "If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin. But now they have no cloak for their sin." So it's not that the Pharisees were going to get saved, because for the most part they didn't. It was that now they have no excuse. And that's what it says. Now they have no cloak. Now they can't stand before God and say, "Oh, I didn't know." Because they did know. Because Jesus told them. So, what is God saying to Jeremiah? Here's what I want you to do. What is he saying to us? Here's what I want you to do. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Does that guarantee that they're all going to just wholeheartedly accept what you have to say and fall down and say, "What must I do to be saved?" No. I mean, we all wish that was the case. And that's happened in a few countries around the world a couple of times. It's probably not going to happen in this country. But then they have no excuse. God's will was still done because people heard the word. Whether they accept or reject it is between them and God. It's not our problem. But if we choose not to do anything, then it is our problem because now we're in disobedience. And that's what he's saying to Jeremiah. He already told him, "I'll be with you. Don't be afraid of their faces. I'll protect you." And he reiterates that here. Go back to our passage. He already told him. I mean, look what he said. "I'm going to make you a city, a pillar, brazen walls." He's one man, and he's saying, "I'm going to make you basically able to stand against entire nations." That's what he says. Against the kings, against princes, against priests, against the people. He says, "I'm going to make you able to stand against all of them." How's that possible? Because God makes it possible. And I believe God will do the same with us if we will just do His will. He will protect us no matter what comes our way. No matter what form the rejection might take, if we're in the center of God's will and it's not our time to go home, then He'll protect us. And he described that to Isaiah in Isaiah 54. Let's turn over there, verse 17. And we can claim this promise if we are in the center of God's will and we are fulfilling God's plan for our lives, which is what? To tell people the Word of God. Lost people, backslidden. Look at Isaiah 54:17. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. Every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. No weapon? That's a pretty bold statement. It's saying God's in control. What's the number one reason why Christians don't witness? Fear. Proverbs 29:25 says, the fear of man bringeth the snare. God is saying to Jeremiah, remember what he told him up in verse 8 of chapter 1. Be not afraid of their faces. Don't be afraid. Don't fear. I'm with you. And now he goes further in this passage to say, I don't want you to be afraid, but I'll tell you in advance that for the most part, they're going to reject what you have to say. And as you'll see as we go through Jeremiah, there's a couple times where they wanted to kill him. But God told him in advance, I'm on your side. You're doing my will. I will protect you against entire nations, princes, priests, and people. I'll protect you against all of it. God says the same to us. If we'll just do His will, He's on our side. He will protect us. Our job is just to get it out there. Jeremiah's job, just speak the Word of God. And leave the rest up to the Lord. Amen? The Word of God is so powerful. It can pierce to the dividing of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow. It's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So if we'll just get it out there, then God can take it and do the miracles in the lives that needs to be done. Some of what it might need to do is, again, remove people's excuses at the judgment. And that's between them and God. But if we'll just do what we're told to do, if we'll just fulfill God's will for our lives and be His spokesman, leave the rest up to Him. And don't take upon ourselves the responsibility of people's rejection. People reject the Word of God, like Jesus said, he that rejecteth me, he's not rejecting me, he's rejecting my Father. And as God said here to Ezekiel and to Jeremiah, they're not rejecting you, they're rejecting me. So if we face rejection, and we will, they're not rejecting us, they're rejecting our Lord. Remember that. They will fight against us sometimes, as he said to Jeremiah. They will resist, sometimes with anger. We don't need to fear. We just need to trust the Lord, do the right thing, and leave the rest up to Him. They shall fight against thee. Let's pray.